My nephews, who are now grown men, were young, were kids, when the game Laser Tag came out. And I don't know if you're familiar with the game Laser Tag, but in it you have a gun that shoots these laser beams, and then each player also has a belt that they wear that has a sensor on it. So the goal is to use your gun to hit the other person's sensor. And when that person has been hit 6 times, they're dead and they're out of the game. And at that point, the sensor won't work anymore until it gets reset. My youngest nephew, who was really too small to be playing with the big guys, decided he needed to find an advantage. So he would get his sensor that he would wear, and he would shoot it 6 times before they started. And then his sensor wouldn't register at all when they shot at him because it needed to be reset. And they just couldn't understand why he kept winning all the time. It was so funny to me because he found a way to win the game by kind of taking himself out of the game before it started. He did it on purpose and they couldn't do it to him. Now, I doubt that Jesus played laser tag. I haven't looked at all the sources on this. But he did know about removing yourself from a conflict before it starts, so that that conflict can't control or diminish you. He told people that they must lose their life in order to save it. In the gospel, he says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Once we choose to take ourselves out of the game and no longer play according to their rules, no one can hurt us. If we decide intentionally and purposefully that we don't value or at least are not defined by the things of this life, then it doesn't hurt us mortally if people take the things of this life from us, or if we lose them in a crisis. Now, this sounds like depressing news to say we have to give up our current life, but it means ultimately that we are given a life that cannot be taken from us. This revelation is something that is not easy for our generation to hear. If you read the magazines and look at the media, you'll see that much of our culture has lifted up its soul to the vanity of preserving looks, preserving money, preserving youth, preserving life. I even read an article recently that talked in depth about scientists who believe they can end death entirely, which on the surface sounds like a good idea, but when you start to play it out, not so much. We are into preserving. And Jesus asks us to turn around our lives, turn them upside down in a way, and to learn to give up instead of trying so hard to preserve. We don't want to hear these words. We've worked hard for what we have. At least occasionally most of us thinks, let everyone else get their own, I got mine. But that stance is contrary to the gospel. So we hear things where Jesus tells us to help others and to give up what we have and to lose our lives in order to save them. And we pretend we just don't hear it. We pretend that Jesus would never ask us to do anything as unreasonable as giving up what we have to help others. We pretend that religion is enough, and we feel that religion must be polite and reasonable and consonant with what we already want to do and achieve. As one of the sources says, quote someone saying to Jesus, Jesus, let's not get all extreme and fanatical. We live in the real world. But the real world is starving. homeless, suffering, tortured, dying, fearful, greedy, and noisy. Maybe it's time we tried something else. We begin to get to that better place for humanity by denying the self. And one of the ways we can think about this is that to deny the self is to make the self a means instead of an end. That we are something that God will use to build the kingdom rather than being the end purpose of all existence. It means that we take on ourselves the burdens of other people's lives. I reposted something on Facebook this week because it reminded me of this idea of helping others when we have enough. And the quote said this: "When you have more than you need, build a longer table, not a higher fence." I hope that as Christians, each of us faces a place where we begin to realize that helping others is really the way out of this losing game. Where we realize that our faith is more than just what we do on Sunday morning. We have those turning points very often. In the story of the life of Jesus, this confession of Peter, which is what we call this piece that we read today in the Gospel, the confession of Peter is a turning point. From that point on, there is explicit teaching about Jesus' coming, suffering, and death. There is the increasing realization that Jesus is here not to help us build a higher fence, but to teach us to build a longer table. This is the first time that he mentions out loud what he believes is going to happen to him, and it's not pleasant. And I suspect, at least in part, he mentions it because he doesn't want people to follow him under false pretenses, to think that this is all going to be easy, and he's going to turn the world upside down to their benefit, and that they will prosper in an earthly way. We have to remember, though, that by the time these verses were written down, these horrifying, unimaginable events had already happened. Jesus had been arrested and tortured and killed, but he had been resurrected, and he had ascended, and the writers of the Gospels were looking at these things and the story of Peter's confession in retrospect. The story must have been easier to tell those years later when they had seen the resurrected Jesus. It can be very hard for us today because we don't see, or perhaps we don't look for, the risen Jesus. In this story today, Peter calls Jesus the Messiah, but he doesn't really know what that means. Especially for himself. When he says you are the Messiah, he may have the right title, but the wrong understanding of what the title means for Jesus and for all of us. And I wonder if sometimes we have the wrong understanding of what Christian means for us. We like to call ourselves Christians, but the story seems to be saying, do you really want to be known as a Christian? Do you know what that requires of you? For when we decide to follow Jesus, we have to do it with humility, with an awareness that even when we get the title right, we probably don't fully understand what it means for our lives. This story is told in Mark's Gospel. Also seems to reflect Jesus' continuing need to sort out his own mission, clarifying his mission bit by bit as he goes along. We saw some of this sorting out of his mission in last week's gospel when Jesus started out claiming to be the Messiah for the Jews alone and then realizing that he was actually being sent to save all people. We have to sort out who Jesus is for us. Is he the Messiah who helps us win over our oppressors and lets us keep on living the life we know? Or is he the Messiah who tells us of our many preoccupations to get behind me and figure out what is truly important and truly lasting? Which Jesus are we confessing? The one who reshapes our lives to suit our needs? Or the one who asks us to reshape our lives for God's purposes? You may know that this story is in other Gospels. It's in Matthew's version. And in Matthew's version, when Peter says, "You are the Messiah," Jesus congratulates him for understanding that fact. Here, Jesus doesn't congratulate Peter. He cautions him. This is almost a "be careful of what you wish for" kind of moment. The giving up of the self, after all, is what happens if we confess this Jesus to be the Messiah. The easy part is saying Jesus is Lord. The hard part is denying ourselves to follow Jesus instead of reshaping him to meet our needs. How do we deny ourselves? We give up rights to benefit others. We're generous. We give to others. We let go of arguing for arguing's sake. The way I sort out who Jesus is by asking a question of everything that occupies my time and energy and money. Did Jesus die for this? So that we can win the game? Decide who's right? Justify our prejudices? Rationalize our selfishness? I believe Jesus died so that he could know the depth and breadth of human suffering, and so that we could follow him to alleviate that suffering in our time. I believe he died so that human beings can learn to live together in peace. Jesus didn't come here so that we could win the game, so we could defeat our oppressors. And when he came here, it was hard because he had to suffer just as we suffer. And we have to accept the reality of that suffering if we are to realize the power that he gives us to transcend the troubles of this world. We cannot have it both ways. We cannot say, "Defeat my enemies, Jesus," until we're willing to properly identify those enemies. Not those people who work against us, but our own selfishness and fear and pride and our need to be right. We have to lose this life and claim the life of loving God and neighbor, the one life that no one else can take from us. We have to take ourselves out of the game and admit that this world can't save us. We have to deny the primacy of human things in order to find the essential divine things. Like my smart and cagey nephew, we have to take ourselves out of the game before it begins. In spiritual terms, this means to die to self. We will never be defeated if we decide up front to take ourselves completely out of it.